Amen. Clap your hands to the Lord. Would you do that? Amen. He's so good. Amen. If you're here today and you're a visitor, we want to say you're welcome here. Stick around. We'll love you. Amen. Amen. If you've been on vacation and you're back, good to see you back. You only get one a year. Maybe two. It's good to see you back. Amen. Matthew chapter 22. It's so good to have Dustin with us, my friend and co-worker. Man, it's good to have him and his family with us. I'm going to pick on him forever because he drove a long way to be here. But it really is good to have you guys. Amen. Matthew chapter 22, verse 1 through 14. I'm going to read a lot, and then I'm going to let you sit down, okay? Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding feast, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went on their ways to his farm and another to his merchandise. And the remnant took the servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. And when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good. I'm glad they threw that in there. Both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. Now this gets interesting. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. He saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither and having a not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Sit down. What a wild story. Right? All right, so I don't know any other way to put this, but to put it in my own terms. Some people understand this, some people won't. If you don't, we'll talk about it after church. But there was a incident in my life several years back, and we in our business, we used high-pressure hydraulic hoses. And these things are rated for like 5,000 pounds of pressure. And our boss went to purchase a hose, and he came back, and he was so excited. He said, man, I got this thing for near nothing. He said it was so cheap. And we was like, okay, cool. He was so excited about the price that he got this hose for. So we hooked it up. And this hose was supposed to be rated for 5,000 pounds of pressure. And I think the one he bought was rated for like 3. So when the pressure came through, it destroyed the mechanism that was supposed to contain it. Let me say it like this. The hose busted. I mean, it tore it all to pieces. And we looked at it and we was like, no wonder you got this so cheap. The integrity of this hose was not rated for what we were trying to put it under. So I feel like that God has put me on assignment in our church to bring the integrity of our church to a level so that the flow can increase. But let me make sure we understand this. Our salvation isn't cheap. It costs a lot. But the idea of the church is, I used to say it like this, I heard a story about two men. They were standing, they were looking at a building, and one of the men looked at the building and he said, hey, look at that gutter and tell me what it does. And he said, well, the gutter gets the water off the roof and puts it on the ground. He said, no, look at the gutter and tell me what the gutter does. He said, the gutter gets the water off the roof and it channels it to the ground. And he said, but what does the gutter actually do? And finally, he looks at him and he says, the gutter just hangs on and lets the water flow through it. And I think that's the idea of the church, but to a greater degree. I used to say, you know, the church should be the gutter and we should just hang on and let the Spirit of God and the Word of God flow through us. But I got a different perspective now. We shouldn't just be a gutter. We should be a 10,000 PSI hose allowing the flow of God to come through us. And we're not just barely hanging on, but we've got purpose and we've got design and we've got will, because there's work that needs to be done in the kingdom of God. So I'm on assignment to make sure that we understand what we need to build this mechanism out of to let this flow come through. I say, well, let's build it out of prophecy. The problem is with a church that's built on prophecy is the Bible says prophecy will fail. We can build it on lights and we can build it on music and we can build it on an atmosphere. The problem is a lot of times when the keyboard player leaves the church, the atmosphere changes. Can you say amen? We say, well, we can build it on personalities and ideas, and we can build this flow on this and outreach and letters, but I came to one conclusion. There's only one thing that we can build this out of, and it has to be the love of an almighty God, because prophecy may fail, but the love of God will never fail. It will always allow the flow of the Spirit to move through it. Are you with me? So we've got to build it out of love, but we got to understand the love of God. This story that we just read, he makes a marriage for his son. And if you don't see the type and shadow here, then you don't read the Bible much. A father is creating a marriage for his son, and he's bringing a bride. He's inviting people to come to the marriage. We understand that this is talking about Israel and the Hebrew and the Jewish nation. He called them to come to be part of it. He sent forth his servants, whether it be judges or prophets or priests, to draw them into relationship with God, but they would not. So God, in his grace and in his mercy, he didn't give up on him, but he went to call him again and again and again and again. I want you to notice what the Bible says. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. He was calling them into relationship. He was calling them into feast. He was calling them into wedding, but they went to work. No, you didn't get that. He was calling them into something that had already been prepared for them. They didn't have to do anything at all, but they went to the farm and they went to their merchandise and they went to work. I want to tell you this. The thing that God has prepared for us, he's already taken care of every bit of it, and we don't have to go to work for it. It's already been prepared. He already made the sacrifice. He already took care of the feast. He said, come. This is what we've got to understand if we're going to be a mechanism that the Spirit of God and the love of God can flow through. There is nothing that we can do that'll make God love us anymore. There is absolutely nothing we can do to get it ready for them. He has already prepared it for them. What we must be is something that God can use to let this world know it's all about a man dying on the cross, saving the world, and you need to believe that. I can't work my way to heaven. I can't run fast enough. I can't talk fast enough. I can't pray enough. I can't do enough to get to heaven. And we got to understand that this is a bride-bridegroom relationship. He has called us into bride and bridegroom relationship. And we need to posture ourselves as his bride. Amen. He said, you know what? Go get him to come in. This is my son. Get him to come in. Get him to come in. And they would not. They went to the farm. Somehow we feel like that we have to do something to get into this, and we don't. It's already been done. You say, be careful, preacher, preaching like that, because what you'll do is you'll get people and they'll start to let up and they'll start to compromise. Let me tell you, the greatest message that you can ever preach to motivate people is Jesus loved you so much that he laid down his life for you. And if you would understand that, you'd love him back with such a love that that would be your life's motivation. And I wouldn't have to police you, but you'd be on fire for God. The problem is some people ain't passionate about their love for him because they don't know how much he really loved them. Amen. I'm building me a hose. I don't know how many PSI this thing's going to hold. But we got a community that the Spirit of God needs to flow through us and touch. And we can't be coming in with some cheap hose. James will never believe I'm preaching on him. Come in with some cheap gospel, some cheap religion, some cheap dedication and say, oh, I got a good deal, but it won't hold any pressure. See, you think God was trying to bring the integrity up in your life so that you, because he didn't like you. You thought God was putting you through trials because he didn't like you. I'm going to tell you, the reason he wants your integrity to be built up is because the flow needs to increase in your life. And the only way to do that is you can't do what I'm about to do with a garden hose. You got to have something that's got some substance in it. I hope this is making sense to all y'all people that don't understand hydraulics. That's all I got. They made light of it. Man, we live in a world where people make light of the gospel. Let's be honest. Respect for the things of God and even God's house is less now than it's ever been in the history of our world. I look around and you give altar calls trying to get people to come to an altar to pray and they're tied up on their phone. You see people that lackadaisically just walk in their Christian walk. And I'm not beating you up. I'm just telling you that I've got a job to make you understand the love of Jesus. I used to try to make you be more determined and try harder. But I found out in my own life trying harder doesn't work. When I try harder not to sin, all I think about is sin and I sin. They say if you're going to lose weight, I don't know, I'm not an expert on this, trust me. They say if you're going to lose weight, you got to get that stuff out of your kitchen. They say you got to replace it with something. Amen. Because if you're constantly sitting in the living room thinking about a Twinkie in the kitchen, don't eat the Twinkie, don't eat the Twinkie. You just keep thinking about the Twinkie. You got to stop thinking about the Twinkie and start thinking about the walk and the apple. Because if you're constantly thinking about, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this, your mind is fixated on that thing that you should not be doing. I'm here to tell you, there's a better way, and it's not about what you ought not to do, it's what you ought to do. We're going to a wedding. I said, we're going to a wedding, and not everybody gets to go. This is wild. This guy shows up. The people that he invited, they wouldn't come. They actually killed the prophets. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jesus would say, thou that killest the prophets, those people that I sent to you to bring you in relationship, you killed them. They killed him. He's sending his armies over and over and over, trying to bring judgment to turn them back to him. This is types. We see what he's talking about, the kingdom of God. Jesus preached about the kingdom of God. You know, we preach about stop doing this and stop doing that, and you better not do this, and you better do this, and you better do that. We got to get rid of that and say, you know what? You need to be part of the kingdom. And when you step into part of the kingdom, those things come as a byproduct of your relationship with him. I'm going to repeat this because it's worth repeating. Dustin, I don't walk around with a contract with my wife. I don't walk around with our wedding contract. Well, I'll tell you, I'm really tempted, but I'm under contract with this thing. Well, I'll tell you, I'd really like to do that, but I got this contract that I signed years ago with her. That's not how this works. How it has to work is I have a love relationship with her. It ain't about a contract, it's about a covenant. We plan on getting old together. She's already getting there. We laugh about it. We talk about it. We're going to be old together one day. We're not there yet. I'm in my prime. Looks can be deceiving, y'all. In covenant. In covenant, not contract. I'm in covenant. This is what he's talking about in this marriage. He's saying, my son wants to have a bride. Bring people to the feast. Amen. All you got to do is show up. I didn't understand what this was all about until I understood customs of those days. When you came to the wedding, when you got to the wedding, they had wedding garments for you to wear. So you would just show up and they would give you these garments. They still do this in parts of the East today. They use the garments as part of the decoration of the wedding. Somehow, I don't know how he did it, but this one guy gets in and he doesn't have a garment. Nobody says anything to him until the king comes out. Oh man, this is good if we get this. If we can get this. He sticks out like a sore thumb. He's walking around and I can't help it, but I just picture him in a WVU hat backwards. Everybody else has on these nice wedding garments and how he's walking around. And the king comes out and says, hey, friend, how did you get in here without a garment? He said, did y'all read that? The Bible said he was speechless. And the king says something that, I mean, well, could you leave? Could you please leave or go get a garment? No, he says, hey, tie this guy up, cast him into outer darkness where there's going to be weeping and gnashing. Kind of rough, don't you think? I mean, the guy did show up at least when all the other people were just making light of it. He did show up. You say, that's a little hard on the guy, don't you think? But then I got to thinking. The Bible says they invited good and bad. I wonder which one he was. See, you automatically thought bad, like me. He's not dressed for the occasion. Maybe he came in dressed in an Armani suit, Gucci glasses. Maybe he was killing it. Maybe that was the problem. I don't know what kind of garment he was wearing, but it wasn't the right garment. Maybe he got there and said, I don't need to wear this garment because, you know, I don't even know why I got invited, man. I'm busted, disgusted, can't be trusted. I don't even know why y'all got me here. I ain't wearing that. I'm wearing what I got on. I'm okay. Or maybe he walked in and he was a king, or maybe he walked in and he was from another nation and he came in and he said, you know what? I'm here. I'm wearing my own garment because what you got is beneath me. You see the difference? I don't know which one he was, but I know this. It didn't matter which side of the tracks he came from. He still needed the wedding garment to be in the wedding. Whether he was the good guy or the bad guy, it doesn't really matter. He needed to be clothed in the same garment that everybody else was clothed in. I come to preach to you on this Sunday. I've been clothed in Christ. And if you're going to make it to the wedding of the Lamb, you've got to be clothed in Christ too. I don't care if you're poor. I don't care if you're rich. I don't care if you're smart. I don't care if you're ignorant. You've got to have on this wedding garment. Well, I don't know, man. I don't know if I really want to put that on. If you don't put this on, you ain't going to make it. But I want to tell you, it's provided for you. Hold on a second. I didn't have to buy it. I didn't have to build it. I didn't have to pay for it. All I got to do is show up and put it on. I would say, and I'm guessing, this is pure speculation. This is pure speculation. But I would say some of those people that came knew each other. And I'd say there were some people in there that they didn't think too highly about. Could you imagine? You look over, guy's over here eating at the feast. Bobby, how'd you get in here? Oh, no, man, I just put this garment on. I'm here. And you look over and you say, oh, there's old so-and-so. How in the world did they get in here? I'm going to tell you how they got in there. They put on the same garment you put on. Let me tell you what's going to happen. We're going to get to heaven, and we're going to be surprised. There's going to be people there that we never thought got there. How'd you get here? I'm going to tell you, I just put on Jesus, man. I wasn't perfect. I didn't do it all right. I didn't do it. I failed time and time. All I did was put on the garment. And because I got on the garment, I get to eat at the table. And I don't know about you, I ain't leaving anytime soon because I got the garment. He said, put it on. But he just came in his own attire. And I know that we emphasize, come as you are, and come as you are, and come as you are, come as you are. Let me tell you what you need to do. You need to come and put on the garment of salvation. Because I don't care, good or bad, you got to have the garment. He said, many are called, but few are chosen. See, you want to make this a predestination debate, don't you? We want to go free will and predestination. Right? Well, who's the chosen? Bobby sure ain't the chosen. I know that guy, and he got in here. Who's the chosen? Who ain't the chosen? Let me tell you what chosen means. The select. Let me give you another word for it. Excellent. The excellent. See, you got prime, choice, and select. It's select. Top notch. So how do you become the select? How do you become the chosen and not just the called? There was only one difference between him and everybody else. Are you hearing me? How do you become the chosen and not just the called? The only difference between him and everybody else in the room was the garment that they had on. So if he wasn't the chosen, it must be because he didn't have the garment. Are y'all with me? He's already provided it for you. All you got to do is put it on. There are garments in Scripture that you need to put on. Can I talk to you about a couple of them? One is this garment right here. You better be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I didn't know what it meant when I was a kid and I sat in those little country churches and they said, in my robe of white, I will fly away. Maybe I didn't go to the same kind of church I did, but they sang those songs kind of like that. In my robe of white, I'll fly away. And I didn't know what they were talking about. But now that I know what the robe of white is all about, I'm ready to fly away. Because, man, if I'm clothed in Jesus, in his righteousness, in his purpose, in everything that he's done, I didn't have to bite. I'm in good spot. Did anybody go to churches like I went to churches? Oh, so y'all know that song? They sing it like that? Then they cough in the middle of it? Then somebody say, bless them, Lord. You see, y'all went to the same kind of church as I did. Somebody's up there struggling. They're like, give me G. And they're in the wrong tune, wrong note, wrong everything. And then somebody goes, bless them, Lord. Listen, if you say, bless them, Lord, that means they're doing really bad. Don't it? It's not a good thing. And then they say things like, you know, the devil's trying to get my voice. No, you just didn't practice, and this is horrible. There ain't no devil involved in this or not. You didn't give God any time at all on this song. And you got up here and you're just going to wing it. Now it's a flop and don't bless them, Lord. That was my thought. I preached a revival one time. And man, I'm telling you, I thought I was doing a good job. And the pastor kept saying, bless him, Lord. I'm like, is this that bad? There's a garment of praise. He gave it to you. I said, he gave it to you. He said he gave you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Heaviness is a spirit. You ever fought a spirit? They don't schedule it in, do they? I've never got an email from a spirit saying, hey, next week I'm going to try to depress you. Be ready. Never got a text message from any of them that said, hey, I'm going to try to really tear you up next week. Be ready. I'll probably be there on Tuesday about 9 a.m. No, but you know what? You get up and go to work, and all of a sudden you're like, man, I don't know what in the world's going on here, but, man, I'm fighting something. You start getting depressed. You start hating everybody. Don't look at me like that. The other day I was fussing about everything, and Ian said, when you fuss about everything, I said, shut up. Don't use my sermons against me. Listen, when you're fussing about everything, you're probably the problem. Now let me tell you, you are the problem. If everybody else in the world is looking bad and you're the only one right, you probably need to check yourself. Man, you get in that place where you're struggling and you don't even know why you're struggling. You get up somewhere and you say, man, I feel like something bad's gonna happen today. I'm not talking about going to work. I'm talking about something bad going to happen that day. Man, can I talk to you for a minute? That's a spirit of heaviness. And it doesn't schedule itself in. Sorry, I got to say this too. Could you imagine if it did? What are you doing Tuesday? Well, I'm going to work in the morning. Then I'm going to do breakfast. Then I'm going to fight this spirit of heaviness. I'm supposed to be here about 9:30. And then hopefully I get it done by 12:30. You know what? If you're not careful, that thing will stick around a long time. And then I come up to you and I say, hey, how you doing, brother? And you say, I'm making it right there. I'm struggling, man. Why are you struggling? I'm going to tell you how to fix that. You ready for this? He gives you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. If you don't put it on, it doesn't do you any good. I said, it's already been provided for you. All you got to do is put it on. Now I understand when in people go to church and they say, I'm going to go get my praise on. I get it now. It's a garment. You got to put it on. When you start praising Jesus, the spirit of heaviness can't stick around that. You know how I know? I've tried it a time or two. I don't know how you pray, but I start out like this. I say, Lord, I thank you. I start out with thanksgiving. Come on, musicians, I'm about done. I think I'm about done. I start out with thanksgiving. I say, man, God, I thank you for my wife. I thank you for my kids. Thank you for a truck that gets me to work. Thank you, Lord, for running water. Thank you, Lord, I live in America. Thank you, Lord, just thank you. I'm thanking for all kinds of stuff that I got. That, you know what we do? We take them for granted. Granted. We do, granted. Some people take marble for granted. Anyway, we take them for granted. And we don't thank God like we should. He said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with... You ought to have came in this place this morning with thanksgiving. I have people have came up to me in times past and said, well, here I am, preacher. Keep me awake if you can. Sounds like a very thankful heart right there. Bind him hand and foot and cast him. That'd be horrible, wouldn't it? And I start thanking God for what I got. You got a lot to be thankful for. You got running water, that's a blessing. Well, but it's that Beckley water, and I keep getting this report. That stuff ain't no good. You shouldn't drink that. Buy you a filter. You got water, man, you're blessed. Do you realize the poorest people in America on a worldwide scale are extremely, extremely blessed? But you know what the devil wants us to look at? What we're missing. What we're lacking. He's always wanting us to look at what we're lacking. So I thank God for all those things. And then after I get finished thanking him for all those things, I move into praise. And I'm not thanking him for this, I'm praising. I'm saying, Lord, I praise you for the cross, and I praise you for making a way for me, and I praise you, Lord. See what it does? I didn't ask y'all to clap. We don't have a sign up here that says applause. That'd be cool if we did. So if y'all wasn't with me, I could push a button. Bless him, Lord. It's Somebody get Danny out of here. He just bless him, Lord, me. Man, I'm moving to praise him. You move into praise, man. You start thinking about the cross. You start thinking about a Savior that died for you. And you start talking about it. Let me tell you what happens with the spirit of heaviness. It starts backing up. The only difference is the garment you got on. That's the only difference. You get to pick which one you want to put on. My friend, how'd you get in here without a garment? Get him out of here. He's got to have the garment. The Spirit don't want you to know about the garment. The devil don't want you to know about the garment. He wants you to go to the farm and work for it. He wants you to go to the merchandise and work for it. He wants you to make light out of it. So you know what my problem is? I've tried to get people to be determined to serve Jesus, when really what I need to get them to do is fall in love with Jesus. I have prayed, God forgive me. God forgive me for trying to make this about grit and determination, because it's not. It's about submission and love. Try harder, pray harder, fast more. Go tear up the kingdom of hell. You're never going to do that unless you know God loves you. That has to be your motivation. Real quick, a poll. How many people have tried harder to overcome a sin in your life and you're still fighting it? Raise your hand. Everybody. Let me tell you how we're going to fight this. We're going to build the integrity of who we are so that the Spirit can flow through us. And the flow on the inside of us is greater than the flow on the outside of us. And we overcome that way. How do we do that? Putting on the garment. From praise, I go to worship. I go from praising God for the cross, praising for salvation, praising for an empty tomb, to worship. What's worship? God, I worship you just because you're God. Not because I got running water and not because you died for me on the cross, but because you are God. And beside you, there is no other. The spirit of heaviness cannot deal with you when you put on those garments. So I don't know what you have on today, but we got to get on the garment, the wedding garment. We got to get that garment on. Because if not, we're not part of the chosen, the select. As we sing this song, here's what we do here at every service. We sing a song to give you a moment to respond to something you've heard. If God's touched your heart, if you need prayer, if you're lost and you need to pray at the altar, come up to the altar. If you're not where you need to be with Jesus, you need to pray at the altar, come to the altar. You will not pray alone. Someone will pray with you. Because we care about you and where you are. So as they sing this song, if you need prayer, we believe on laying on hands. We'll lay hands on you and we'll pray for you. So whatever you need, God's word has been spoken. If you say, you know what? I want that garment. I want that garment. Come to the altar.